So many people have asked, and we've had a little changing around the schedule because we were kind of conflicting with our camp meeting, the McDowell Baptist camp meeting. And we had one of our big weeks of camp scheduled the same week of the second week of the camp meeting, so we had to switch one of them. And so as of now, for our kids here at the church, if you'll be entering the first grade through the sixth grade, they'll be having 3 full days of camp, June 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's the Monday after school is out. So that's the little kids' camp will be June 6th, 7th, and 8th. And our bus kids will be going June the 9th, 10th, and 11th. We'll have another group from South Carolina the next week, and a bunch from Lenoir the week after that, a bunch from Asheville the week after that. And the 2 weeks, we had planned 2 weeks for teenagers this year, from 7th to the 12th grade, will be going the week of the 4th of July and the week after the 4th of July. Now, the week after the 4th of July will be our main week. July the 11th, we're going to have our main big week of camp, but all of our young teenagers that want to go the week of the 4th of July will be going that week too. So many of them are planning on staying the entire 2 weeks, come home on weekend, go back on Monday. And the reason we're doing that is because last year, just it was about Thursday night before the Lord really started getting on them, and they was getting right with God and getting right with each other and mom and daddy and everything. And then we had to go home. So a bunch of them said, let's have it longer next year, and so we are planning that. But our main week for the the older kids will be July the 11th. The cost will be $25 per week per kid for our church kids. That means we go cheaper than everybody else, and that's just for the food, and so keep that in mind. And then a lot of other things coming up. We're going to be having a lot of special things, so thought you ladies might want to do that, because I know people are planning out their vacations and all, and the kids take a fit if they don't get to go to camp. And so you maybe try to work your vacation in around there somewhere. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1 tonight. Read a verse of scripture here and bring a message from the word of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. That's the Mount of Transfiguration back over in the book of Matthew. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy. That's what we're going to be dealing with tonight. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Stop right there just a second. He said, we've got a word of prophecy that's just like a light shining in a dark place. Have you ever went into a dark room and took a flashlight, maybe in a closet or out in the backyard, and flipped that light on? It puts light on what you're wanting to see. That's what prophecy is in the Bible. It's a light that shines in a dark world. Look at verse number 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I want to bring you a message tonight on the subject, why give heed to prophecy. You hear a lot of talk and a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching, a lot of books about prophecy today. Matter of fact, prophecy is real popular right now. Everybody in religion is trying to predict Armageddon and the Holocaust and the end of the world and Russia and the great battle and the coming of the Lord. And I reckon some of that's all right, and people are interested in the future. There are three ways a preacher can treat the subject of prophecy. First, he can ignore it. A lot of them do that. A lot of them say, well, I don't know for sure, neither does anybody else, so I best just stay away from that, and I'll preach on the parables, the 23rd Psalm, and John 3:16, the parts of the Bible I do know, and just forget the prophetic parts. But a man's in trouble that does that, because one-fourth of the Bible is prophecy. When you deal with one-fourth of the Word of God and almost three-fourths of the Old Testament in parts, you're dealing with prophetic events that hadn't happened yet. I've been places and preached, and I heard a man in Florida say it was 40 years ago he'd been saved and had never heard a preacher preach on prophecy. I've been preaching and preaching, preaching on the second coming or the rapture or things to come in the future, and people said, I've never heard that. I've been wanting somebody to tell me what's going to happen in the future. Second, there's a second group that goes overboard and don't preach anything but prophecy. And they go off the deep end, and they get the name of one of these prophecy preachers. And everywhere they go, that's all they talk about. And their whole ministry and their whole teaching and their whole teaching revolves around the future. And every time they get up, they're talking about the Mideast and Arabia and Gog and Magog and the 10 toes on the beast and the prophetic events and what's happened over in the Middle East and Palestine and all of that. And that ain't the right way to treat it. The third type of preacher tries to preach the whole counsel of God and serve good meals for God's people as a balanced diet, give them breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and keep them healthy. Now, a preacher that preaches all the great Bible doctrines, sin, judgment, righteousness, salvation, heaven, hell, prophecy, will have a healthy, balanced, spiritual congregation. But a man that goes overboard one way or the other will produce a bunch of weirdos. And people maybe with their heads stuck in the ground or heads stuck in the clouds. And so that's why we try to be balanced in these things and say that the Bible teaches us prophecy is as a light that shineth in a dark place. And my preaching should be according to what's written in the Word of God. I try, by the help of the Lord, to give you a part of all the parts of the Word of God and not just get hung up on one part or two parts. Let me say why we should give heed to the prophecy in the Word of God. Number one, because it will strengthen our faith in the Bible. If you want your faith strengthened in the Word of God, then you get into some prophecy and study it. A lot of prophecy students have strong faith for this reason. You get that thing down and study it. Can you give me up just a little bit on this, Brother Steve? They get this thing down, and boy, they begin to study it. And it foretells many things that comes true. And you get in that Word of God, and it said, in the last days, this and this is going to happen. And then about the next day or two, you hear it on the news. Or you see a newspaper come out, and it says that very thing. And you say, well, I was just reading that in the Bible the other night. Back then, those Jews went back to their homeland in 1948. God's people that knew prophecy shouted and rejoiced, and their faith was increased because they had been looking for that to come. So you see, if you study prophecy, your faith will be increased. Now, I don't think people ought to go off the deep end on things, and there's a lot about it we don't know. But my advice to anybody in this church would be, get in this book,
see what it says about the future. Get you a good Bible teaching book on it. You get one of them books by old Clarence Larkin in there that divides it up in those charts and think, and you can see things that are coming on this earth and not be in the dark as most of the world is. I tell you, brother, we know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen in the near future. We know the rapture is coming. We know the Lord's coming in the clouds. It's a great hope that we have. And the Lord's going to come out there and holler, "Come up hither." And when He says, "Come up hither," we're going up thither. And we're going up there to be with Him. And buddy, we're going to be with the Lord in the clouds. And we know what's going to happen while we're up there being judged. We know the Antichrist is going to be ruling down here. We know the mark of the beast will be on this world. We know the sun's going to scorch people. We know the water's going to turn to blood. We know they're going to fight battles, at least three wars coming up in the future. And every time we hear something on the news that goes along with that, it just makes our faith stronger in the Word of God. You study prophecy, your faith will be strengthened. Let me give you some Old Testament prophecies that's already come to pass. Babylon in the Old Testament was the New York City of its day. No city could compare with its glory. The walls around the city of Babylon were 87 feet thick. It had a moat around it with alligators and gates of brass. Big towers along ever so often with these guys up here that watch. In case anybody got past the alligators, they'd shoot them with bows or with spears or kill them. Babylon was virtually a city that could not have been overthrown. The Euphrates River run right down through the middle of that city, and it come underneath the walls and come up and irrigate those land, and those people could virtually exist in there without any outside help from the world. They were secure, they were satisfied, and they were settled. They had it made. They had more money, more food, more fun. They had all the big bands and the big time, just like America has tonight. But you know what God did? The Lord got a hold of one of His prophets, and God prophesied through Isaiah that He would destroy Babylon, and people must have thought He was crazy. And God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. He said, "I'm going to bring her down." And people thought, "Oh, Isaiah, you're an old kook. You're an old crazy fanatic." They said, "Isaiah, it can't happen. This is great Babylon. Nobody can destroy it." But you know what happened that night in Daniel chapter 5 at Belshazzar's feast, don't you? Boy, I tell you, them fellows went up there and they went up the road a little ways and blocked that river off and turned it down another way. And when they done that, the well water went dry. They marched right down through that tunnel underneath that wall, come out there and slain Belshazzar the king, and blood and guts was all over the place and dead bodies laying all over the place. And God's people knew that was going to happen because God said that it would. I'm saying to you, I'm scared. I'm feared for our country tonight. Our country is satisfied. Our country is filled with goods. Listen, we've never had more than we've got tonight in America. We've never had more food and better clothes and finer homes to live in. But our backs have turned against God, and we don't care about right and wrong no more. And our nation has turned against God, and God's going to bring us down too. But I tell you, I'm scared for our nation tonight. You know what we need to do? We need to take heed to prophecy. They that will not learn from the mistakes of history are condemned to repeat them. I will say this tonight. I ain't a prophet, but I've got a prophetic book. I'm going to say this tonight. God ain't going to sit by and let America keep doing like she's doing tonight. I don't know how long we've got. I don't know when the axe is going to drop. But I tell you what, you ask anybody who travels around much, if you go on vacation, if you go to, you feel the Spirit of God, brother, just leaving our nation. Preacher told me not long ago, got one of the most, probably the most, about one of the most spiritual churches I know of around this part of the country.
He said, "Brother Danny, how long has it been since you've seen real, honest to goodness, Holy Ghost conviction on people?" I said, "Brother, you don't see it much anymore. Now and then. But our sins have grieved the Spirit of God till He can't bless us like He wants to nowadays." And you go in the average church nowadays and the Spirit of God's a stranger, people. We're in trouble in this nation. We're in trouble if we don't get back to God. Listen, you know what's wrong with us? We've got big plans. We've got boats. We've got campers. We want to go on vacation. We want to loaf all over creation. All saying, "Hallelujah, we never had it better. Everybody, we're saved and on our way to glory." But if we don't start putting God first, God's going to take away some of this stuff we got. God can bring you down, big boy. God can put you flat on your back in a hospital somewhere rather than running off a monitor where you'd be glad to get back in church. God can take away a loved one. God can get one of my young'uns or yours. God is not mocked. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And if you don't know prophecy, you'll fall into many terrible traps. It'll strengthen your faith in the Word of God. Secondly, we need to take heed to prophecy because it will help us to understand the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15. "It's one thing to believe the Bible, but another thing to understand it and rightly divide it." The book says study. You are commanded to study the Bible to show thyself approved who? Unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. If a man don't get prophecy right, you can't understand Matthew, the book of Acts, or the book of Hebrews, or Revelation, or Daniel, because they all fit together. And you know why there's so many denominations teaching so many different things right now while I'm standing here tonight? Is because they have not learned to divide. Rightly divide the Word of God. I heard a water dog the other night on the radio when I was coming back from a revival. And there's this guy on there, boy, and he's a baptizer. And you had to be baptized. And that's the way the water dogs say it. They don't say baptized, they say baptized. And he said, "You must be baptized." And he started all this stuff about you had to be baptized in water for your sins to be forgiven. You know what that fellow's problem is? He don't understand Acts, and he don't understand Mark, and he don't understand Matthew. He's interpreting Romans and 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Corinthians in the light of Matthew and Acts, when he ought to be doing it the other way around and getting his feet and solid base on 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, and the book, the epistles to the church in the age of grace, and interpret those scriptures in the light of those scriptures. A man don't get over here in Matthew and say, "We're going to start here," and then cram all the rest of the Bible into that. You get where you are dispensationally. Dispensationally tonight, me and you ain't in Matthew, we're in the epistles to the church. When before you get to Revelation chapter 4, and you can't understand the Bible and rightly about it any other way. And once you get that prophecy down right, once you get that book of Revelation divided up in those three divisions, the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Real simple. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, the things which thou hast seen. The things which are, chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 to verse 11. Chapter 19, verse 12 to chapter 22 in the last verse is the things which are to come. And when you get those divided out right, that thing starts making sense. It falls into place. And the reason you need to study it and I need to study it is because the Bible makes better sense. Now, I want to say something here tonight. I ain't got time to elaborate on this because when I say that, my mind's going 50 different directions trying to give you something. I can't get off on everything. We'll never get through. Let me give you something tonight. Every heresy being preached on the radio and television right now in America is a Bible truth being preached to the wrong dispensation. You hear me? Every heresy you hear preached has some Bible base to it. They're taking it out of context and preaching it to the wrong dispensation. Example, eating meat. The Old Testament, that's what the seventh day disadvantage is. And I say they're disadvantaged because they don't get to eat ham. Anybody can't eat ham? Disadvantages. Or pork chops, or shrimp, or catfish. Wouldn't it be awful if we couldn't eat that? If you got any ham you don't believe in eating, see me after service. Take it off your hands. Now look here. They're saying, don't eat meat, don't eat meat, don't eat meat. And they got scripture to back up what they say. The only problem is the scripture they're quoting was to an Old Testament Jew under the law. And we ain't Old Testament Jews under the law. You see what I mean? They've got a truth, but they're preaching it in the wrong dispensation. And if a man don't get his dispensations right, he'll get the Bible all messed up and he'll be teaching heresy. And that's why you need to understand prophecy. Helps you understand the Bible. Amen? And the Lord will bless you anyway. He said he would in Revelation 1:3. Blessed are they that read and hear the words of this prophecy. The Lord will give you a blessing just for reading the book of Revelation. Amen? Get that thing down, read it. God will bless you. You want a blessing? Go on tonight and read Revelation 1, Revelation 2, Revelation 3. Boy, he said these are things which must shortly come to pass. And he wrote it down for our benefit. But let me say number 3. Now, the third reason why we need to give heed to prophecy is because our Savior, Jesus Christ, condemned people who were ignorant of prophecy. Matthew 16:23. You don't have to turn to it. A lot of people say, well, I don't know, I'm just a dumb Christian. And they somehow are proud of that. Somehow or another they think that makes them spiritual because they're dumb. And they say, not me, Brother Danny. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing about the future. I don't know nothing about the rapture. I don't know nothing about the trib. I don't know nothing about the millennium. I don't know nothing about the advent. I don't know nothing about that. I'm just a dumb Christian. Well, the Lord Jesus rebuked you. You know what he told them Pharisees over there? He said, you sorry things. You can look up there at the sky and say, red skies in the morning, sailors take warning. But you cannot discern the signs of your times. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees because they were ignorant. They were lazy. They toss the Bible aside and say, I can't understand it. Let's watch TV. They just forget the Word of God. They just toss the Bible out on the picture. Old Daniel had a vision, and old Daniel couldn't understand the vision. You know what he said? I sought the meaning thereof. Amen? That's the way you get it. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Ask and you shall receive. If you don't understand the book, get out on your knees and say, God, help me understand the book. And then ask everybody you can come across. Ask me. Ask Brother John. Ask your Bible teacher. Ask your Sunday school teacher. Say, Brother Danny, what does this mean? Well, listen, how do you ever expect to learn anything if you won't study it and won't ask questions? I've been asking questions ever since I've been saved. I get around somebody that knows the Bible real good. I've got my questions. I have been around them, boy, and just ask them a list. What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? You know why? Because I'm dumb and I want to learn. Did you know it ain't a sin to be ignorant, but it's a sin to stay ignorant? You ain't got no excuse. If you stay that way, God condemn those. Now I want to say this. People are going to accept the Antichrist when he comes because of ignorance of the Scripture. Now I'll tell you what's going to happen. If I understand the Word of God right, there's going to come a shout. Now to the world, it's going to sound like a sonic boom. But to me and you, it's going to be the voice of the Lord. See, to the world, it's going to go, boom! But to me and you, it's going to be, Danny Castle, come on here there! You say, where do you get that? From the Bible. You get it out of there where the Lord was standing over there at them graves. And the voice spoke from heaven to the Father to the Son. And they that stood by said that it thundered. But you know what them disciples heard Him say? This is My beloved Son. Hear ye Him? And another time God spoke and it said, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Talking about His name. Now that's going to happen. And I don't know how long it's going to be after we're gone. But there's going to be a man step on the scene. And this man's going to step on the scene and he's going to be the smoothest cat that's ever come along yet. And somehow or another, he will be regarded as the long-awaited Messiah. Jesus said, I'm coming in My Father's name, and you receive Me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. The world's going to accept the Antichrist with open arms, and they're getting ready for him right now. Listen, do you think God let them invent satellite TV just to have something to play around with? Why didn't they have satellite TV in the 1800s? Why didn't they have satellite in the 1700s? In the 1600s? Why did God wait until the late 1900s to let them get satellite TV? Did you know in Revelation 11, them two fellows get killed and they lay there in the street and the whole world sees them? Did you know the Jews right now, the rabbis, are looking for their Messiah to come? Did you know the world out here is looking for a Savior to lead us out of our problems? Did you know other religions are looking for Mahat or Alibaba or God knows who to come and solve the problem? And when this guy comes, he's going to be all of them wrapped up in one. Do you think the Lord let Michael Jackson get as famous as he is just for nothing? Do you know that Israel became a nation May 14th, 1948? Do you know that the Jewish rabbis teach that after 40 years of that nation, that their Messiah is coming? Do you know that the Jewish leaders don't believe Jesus Christ was Messiah? That's why they don't believe in the New Testament, and they only have the Old Testament, and that they're looking for their Messiah to come right now. And did you know it ain't but a month till May 14th, 1988? Do y'all realize we may have less than 3 weeks? Now you listen. You say, now Brother Danny, no man, oh I know that. I read that scripture 100 times, I guess. I didn't say we had less. I said we may have less. I was thinking about that this morning. I thought, now wait a minute. What if the Lord come May 14th? I didn't say it was. If you go out of here and say Danny said he knew when the Lord coming, you are a liar and a nut. Because I don't. It may be 10 years, maybe 50 years. But let's just think for a minute. What if the Lord says, all right, after them Jews go back to their homeland, 40 years, May 14th, that's less than 30 days from right now. Then, the rapture comes. And they spend all summer trying to explain it. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't see anything that could stop Jesus from coming tonight. Do y'all realize this world is stinking, rotten to the core? It's filthy. It's filthy. I'd preached on them soap operas and preached on the old Dallas and Dynasty and all of them. And I noticed people thought, well, good night, that ain't nothing. Until I found out what there's a watching. And I found out Dallas and Dynasty's clean. Compared to what's being put out all over America tonight. It's rotten, man. It's rotten. And the Lord says this. And I thought this morning, now, we can't put this on radio, I guess, because I'm getting ready to just tell you a personal opinion and no prophecy of Scripture of any private interpretation. And I ain't a prophet, and I ain't claimed nothing. I just thought this morning. I thought, now listen. If the Lord come this summer, then that would mean the Antichrist got to be coming along pretty soon. And I said, Who could it be? And I said, it's Jesse Jackson. That's it! I figured it out! And I thought that this morning. Now, don't y'all go out of here and say that. I'll be shot before this week's over. I did not say that. But now listen. 88. Election year coming up. Now, I don't think he's going to get president, but he's gaining ground. And what's going to happen if a rapture comes? They'll say, well, let's be nice to the guy and let him in. He's going to be vice president, and then we're going to be gone to glory, and somebody's going to shoot the president, and then he goes in. And he'll get shot too, and his deadly wound will be healed. He's a religious fella. Lord, I messed up here tonight. Please don't tell nobody I said that. I'm just saying, what if? What if? I tell you what, man, we ain't never seen the time in America yet. From the devil and sin like I felt it in the last 2 months. Never since I've been saved have I just been hit in the face with just old flat out wickedness. Something's a brewing. Something's a brewing. And you young people here tonight, listen to me. You may not have long. Maybe we do. And we ought to be preparing ourselves for living here for another 20 years. Maybe we will. We may not. I've done got ahead of myself, but the next point is because a study of prophecy brings great spiritual joy. We're not lost in hopelessness, nothingness, meaninglessness. There's hope. Thomas Carlyle, a great man, cried out one time, "Oh, for a word from God." You know what Washington, D.C. wants? They said, boy, if we just had a word from outer space or somewhere, somebody to tell us what the future holds. I mean, you got it right here in our hands and in our lap. We got a word from God. Hallelujah. You think about that tonight. Glory to God. The whole world don't know what's going to happen. They're lost and confused. Up at the White House on Capitol Hill, the ones that don't believe the Bible don't know where they're coming or going, folks. They don't know what decisions to make. They're trying to bring peace on earth, man. That's like trying to dip out the Atlantic Ocean with a thimble. But oh, thank God. Thank God. I mean, you got a word from God. Is there any word from the Lord, preacher? Yeah, sure is. He's coming soon. Prepare to meet him. The last thing I'm going to say is a study of prophecy will help us to live better lives. You'll get your act together if you think Jesus could come at any minute. You say, oh, Brother Danny, don't. Why you get up there and trying to scare people? And listen, I'm just warning you, man. He could come in 5 minutes from now. There ain't nothing wrong with living your life every day like Jesus is coming that day. No, I don't see nothing wrong with that, do you? I don't find anywhere in the Bible where that's unscriptural to be looking for him. Revelation 11 can now be fulfilled. You know, if you're an atheist tonight, you got a real problem. among a lot of problems. But one of your biggest problems is, explain this. If there's no God and the Bible ain't true, why is everything turning out in the world just like the Bible said it would thousands of years ago? Explain that, smarty pants. These college professors getting up saying, there's no God, the Bible's outdated, we're in a new modern enlightened age. Oh yeah, Mr. Smarty? How come the days of Lot have come back on us? Like Jesus said they would 2,000 years ago. How come they're swapping wives and drinking and living it up like the days of Noah, like Jesus said 2,000 years ago? Why them Jews go back to their homeland after being scattered for hundreds of years and any other nation would have been destroyed? Tell us. Why is everything happening just like God? Hey, how come the world ain't getting to be a better, safer, nicer place to live? She's true. You can't beat it with a stick. Temptations are on every side. As we go into the summer of 1988, it's going to be more wicked than ever. It's already starting. You can feel it. This will be the wildest, wickedest summer on the streets of America ever in the world's history. And me and you is right in the middle of it, trying to live right. Young people, what you might miss by going out there living it up and having a big time this summer ain't going to be worth the price you'll pay. Oh, if you just get in here in church. You know, I'm so proud of some of our young people. Some of these girls sitting right up here tonight, they've been going to revivals. Some of them got up there and sung the other night and everything. And I was thinking about them girls, and I thought, thank God for good girls like that. Thank God they got some sense. God's going to bless them kids. You say, oh, they're missing all the fun. I want to learn that song. I thought about it not long ago. My friends say, I'm missing all the good times. Why I live for Jesus, they can't understand. But by the time they realize I'm missing, I'll be missing the tribulation and living in glory land. That's good, you know what? You say, boy, all them young people that live right there missing a lot. Yeah, and by the time you realize they're gone, they'll be missing the trib, brother, and living in glory land. It'll help you live right. I don't know about you. I got sick here a couple weeks ago, and I ain't been sick in ages. I don't know what it was. A flu demon. Something like that. And I tried to cast it out, buddy. I did. I tried to pray and everything, and the Lord helped me. I didn't have to. It knocked me down about a half a day. And I preached. I preached both nights. And I was sick as a dog. I thought the first night of the revival, I honestly thought I was going to have to stop right in the middle of the sermon and run out. About the sickest I ever been preaching. Whew, boy, I hate to get like that. I don't hardly ever get sick, but boy, man, I was about to turn green. And while I was experiencing that and that nausea and sickness, I thought, wouldn't this be awful to have to stay like this a long time? I said, God, help me. And I got to thinking about people with diseases and AIDS and them that's going through the tribulation and people in hell. My, how can they going to stand that? Just on and on and on and on and no relief and no help. I tell you something, folks. I guess I'm a big chicken. But I don't want to go that route and wind up in that tribulation. My Lord, you talk about a nightmare. God was going to do to the world what he done to Egypt back in the Old Testament. And it's up to me and you to stay faithful. That's why I'm trying to push this spring program. You think we just done these pictures up here and giving me, you know, these little things and all them little things like that just to have fun? The whole purpose in baby day and every other day is trying to get somebody out of the jaws of the lion and get them to Jesus. You know why? They took them cute 200 kids on that picnic today. You think them bus workers just didn't have nothing else to do on Sunday evening? You think that won't run you up a wall? They done it because them kids need Jesus. We're running out of time. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I want you to be real quiet just a minute. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you been living right? You say, Brother Danny, the devil's been at you. Yeah, I know, he has me too. Strong. I want to put my life on this altar tonight. Say, dear God, help me to stay faithful. Wouldn't you feel like a dog if you just gave up and backslid and then the rapture come about a week later? Wouldn't that be pitiful? Maybe you need to come to this altar, as some are already doing. Say, God, I want to get fired up again. Dear Lord, do what ought to be done right now. Help us, dear God, as a church. Help us, dear God, as individuals to live right and holy and pure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. While these are coming tonight, let's stand and sing. Just want to remind you tonight, take heed, friend. We're running out of time. If you ever going to preach, preach. If you ever going to witness, witness.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me.
You need to come on right now. Come on, just get out of your seat and come. Things right between you and the Lord. Things right between you and God right now.
Will follow.
You need to come on.
Where he leads me, I will follow.
Amen.
Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him all the way.
Let me ask you a question tonight, friend. Do you know if the Lord come tonight, you'd be ready? I mean, if Jesus come tonight, would you go up there with him? Or would he leave you behind? You say, Brother Danny, I don't know. You better be finding out, don't you think? And right here's the place to find out. There's somebody up here can take a Bible and show you exactly what you got to know that you're going. You don't have to go through your life wondering whether you're going to heaven or not. Ain't no use in it. It don't make no sense. Crazy. Get it right. Don't you be ashamed to walk down here. We're going to sing another verse tonight. Don't you be ashamed. Get out of your seat and come. Right now. Brother John, if you'll lead us, we'll start another verse. Come on.
He will give me grace.
Amen. Come on.
And glory.
How we sing.
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory, and go with me, all the way.
Everybody sing!
Where he leads me, I will follow.
Do you mean that tonight? Do you mean it?
Tonight. Where he leads me, I will follow.
Let's bow our heads while these are still praying tonight. Don't you get in no hurry tonight. It's a serious business getting ready to meet Jesus. You say, Brother Danny, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I just still don't know what's wrong. I just don't feel ready to meet the Lord. I know what your problem is. I can tell you what your problem is. One of two things. Number one, you've got some sin you're not willing to let go of. Or number two, you ain't willing to take God at His word. One of them two things is wrong with you. Turn from everything you know that's wrong and then claim God's word. Believe Him. He said you is forgiven. Now claim it, brother. Thank God. He's 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He's faithful just to forgive us. Now, if He's done it, forget about it and go on and serve Him. Rejoice. Rejoice and shout the victory. Don't whine around and ask God to forgive you 50 times after He's done forgive you. Get it right. Get it right. Go on, serve God and forget about it. Shut up. Go on, do right. And don't lay there in that cesspool. Waller. Whining around feeling sorry for yourself. Just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Get back up and go on for Jesus. He'll bless you for it. Dear Lord, bless these that are on the altar. Bless these that are still struggling. Help them to claim your word. Help them to believe it. Lord, it's the only thing we've got. If we can't trust what your word said, Lord, we're all lost anyway. God, help us to believe it. Depend upon it. Look forward to seeing you in the clouds one day. And help us to live right until that day comes. And God, don't let us blow it, Lord. Don't let us blow it. God, we'd rather be dead than ruin our testimony and bring shame to your name. There's hope. Thomas Carlyle, a great man, cried out one time, "Oh, for a word from God." You know what Washington, D.C. wants? They said, boy, if we just had a word from outer space or somewhere, somebody to tell us what the future holds. I mean, you got it right here in our hands and in our lap. We got a word from God. Hallelujah. You think about that tonight. Glory to God. The whole world don't know what's going to happen. They're lost and confused. Up at the White House on Capitol Hill, the ones that don't believe the Bible don't know where they're coming or going, folks. They don't know what decisions to make. They're trying to bring peace on earth, man. That's like trying to dip out the Atlantic Ocean with a thimble. But oh, thank God. Thank God. I mean, you got a word from God. Is there any word from the Lord, preacher? Yeah, sure is. He's coming soon. Prepare to meet Him. Last thing I'm going to say is a study of prophecy will help us to live better lives. You'll get your act together if you think Jesus could come at any minute. You say, oh, Brother Danny, don't. Why you get up there and trying to scare people? And listen. I'm just warning you, man. He could come in 5 minutes from now. There ain't nothing wrong with living your life every day like Jesus is coming that day. No, I don't see nothing wrong with that, do you? I don't find anywhere in the Bible where that's unscriptural to be looking for Him. Revelation 11 can now be fulfilled. You know, if you're an atheist tonight, you got a real problem. Among a lot of problems. But one of your biggest problems is, explain this. If there's no God and the Bible ain't true, why is everything turning out in the world just like the Bible said it would thousands of years ago? Explain that, smarty pants. These college professors getting up saying, there's no God, the Bible's outdated, we're in a new modern enlightened age. Oh yeah, Mr. Smarty? How come the days of Lot have come back on us? Like Jesus said they would 2,000 years ago. How come they're swapping wives and drinking and living it up like the days of Noah, like Jesus said 2,000 years ago? Why did them Jews go back to their homeland after being scattered for hundreds of years and any other nation would have been destroyed? Tell us. Why is everything happening just like God? Hey, how come the world ain't getting to be a better, safer, nicer place to live? She's true. You can't beat it with a stick. Temptations are on every side. As we go into the summer of 1988, it's going to be more wicked than ever. It's already starting. You can feel it. This will be the wildest, wickedest summer on the streets of America ever in the world's history. And me and you is right in the middle of it, trying to live right. Young people, what you might miss by going out there living it up and having a big time this summer ain't going to be worth the price you'll pay. Oh, if you just get in here in church. You know, I'm so proud of some of our young people. Some of these girls sitting right up here tonight, they've been going to revivals. Some of them got up there and sung the other night and everything. And I was thinking about them girls, and I thought, thank God for good girls like that. Thank God they got some sense. God's going to bless them kids. You say, oh, they're missing all the fun. I want to learn that song. I thought about it not long ago. My friends say, I'm missing all the good times. Why I live for Jesus, they can't understand. But by the time they realize I'm missing, I'll be missing the tribulation and living in glory land. That's good, you know what? You say, boy, all them young people that live right there missing a lot. Yeah, and by the time you realize they're gone, they'll be missing the crib, brother, and living in glory land. It'll help you live right. I don't know about you. I got sick here a couple weeks ago, and I ain't been sick in ages. I don't know what it was. Flu demon, something like that. And I tried to cast it out, buddy. I did. I tried to pray and everything, and the Lord helped me. I didn't have to. It knocked me down about a half a day. And I preached. I preached both nights. And I was sick as a dog. The first night of revival, I honestly thought I was going to have to stop right in the middle of the sermon and run out. About the sickest I ever been preaching. Whew, boy, I hate to get like that. I don't hardly ever get sick, but boy, man, I was about to turn green. And while I was experiencing that nausea and sickness, I thought, wouldn't this be awful to have to stay like this a long time? And I said, God, help me. And I got to thinking about people with diseases and AIDS and them that's going through the tribulation and people in hell. My, how can they going to stand that? Just on and on and on and on and no relief and no help. I tell you something, folks. I guess I'm a big chicken. But I don't want to go that route and wind up in that tribulation. My Lord, you talk about a nightmare. God was going to do to the world what he done to Egypt back in the Old Testament. And it's up to me and you to stay faithful. That's why I'm trying to push this spring program. You think we just done these pictures up here and giving me, you know, these little things and all them little things like that just to have fun? The whole purpose in baby day and every other day is trying to get somebody out of the jaws of the lion and get them to Jesus. You know why? They took them cute 200 kids on that picnic today. You think them bus workers just didn't have nothing else to do on Sunday evening? You think that won't run you up a wall? They done it because them kids need Jesus. We're running out of time. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I should be real quiet just a minute. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you been living right? You say, Brother Danny, the devil's been out. Yeah, I know it has, me too. Strong. But I want to put my life on this altar tonight and say, dear God, help me to stay faithful. Wouldn't you feel like a dog if you just gave up and backslid and then the rapture come about a week later. Wouldn't that be pitiful? Maybe you need to come to this altar, as some are already doing. Say, God, I want to get fired up again. Dear Lord, do what ought to be done right now. Help us, dear God, as a church. Help us, dear God, as individuals, to live right and holy and pure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. While these are coming tonight, let's stand and sing. Just want to remind you tonight, take heed, friend. We're running out of time. If you ever going to preach, preach. If you ever going to witness, witness.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me.
You need to come. Come on right now. Come on. Just get out of your seat and come. Things right between you and the Lord. Things right between you and God right now.
Will follow.
You need to come. Come on.
Where he leads me, I will follow.
Amen.
Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him all the way.
Let me ask you a question tonight, friend. Do you know if the Lord come tonight, you'd be ready? I mean, if Jesus come tonight, would you go up there with him? Or would he leave you behind? You say, Brother Danny, I don't know. You better be finding out, don't you think? And right here's the place to find out. Lay somebody up here and take a Bible and show you exactly what you got to know that you're going. You don't have to go through your life wondering whether you're going to heaven or not. Ain't no use in it. It don't make no sense. Crazy. Get it right. Don't you be ashamed to walk down here. We're going to sing another verse tonight. Don't you be ashamed. Get out of your seat and come. Right now. Brother John, if you'll lead us, we'll start another verse. Come on.
He will give
come on.
Me grace.
Amen. Come on.
And glory.
How we sing.
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And go with me all the way.
Everybody sing.
Where he leads me, I will follow.
Do you mean that tonight? Do you mean it?
He leads me, I will follow.
Yeah, man, get it right. Get it right tonight.
Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. With him all the way.
Let's bow our heads while these are still praying tonight. Don't you get in no hurry tonight. It's a serious business getting ready to meet Jesus. You say, Brother Danny, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I just still don't know what's wrong. I just don't feel ready to meet the Lord. I know what your problem is. I can tell you what your problem is. One of two things. Number one, you've got some sin you're not willing to let go of. Or number two, you ain't willing to take God at his word. One of them two things is wrong with you. Turn from everything you know that's wrong and then claim God's word. Believe him. He said you is forgiven, now claim it, brother. Thank God. He's 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He's faithful. just to forgive us. Now, if he's done it, forget about it and go on and serve him. Rejoice. Rejoice and shout the victory. Don't whine around and ask God to forgive you 50 times after he's done forgive you. Get it right. Get it right. Go on and serve God and forget about it. Shut up. Go on and do right. And don't lay there in that cesspool. Waller. Whining around feeling sorry for yourself. Just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Get back up and go on for Jesus. He'll bless you for it. Dear Lord, bless these that are on the altar. Bless these that are still struggling. Help them to claim your word. Help them to believe it. Lord, it's the only thing we've got. If we can't trust what your word said, Lord, we're all lost anyway. God, help us to believe it. Depend upon it. Look forward to seeing you in the clouds one day. And help us to live right until that day comes. And God, don't let us blow it, Lord. Don't let us blow it. God, we'd rather be dead than ruin our testimony and bring shame to your name. Help us to live right and do right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.